Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, and I'll be reading from the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 17. Listen for the word of our Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful sayings that he was doing. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Welcome on this great, sunshiny, great weather day. Well, just look at it this way. You're a little cooler since you got sprinkled on coming in. Consider it just remembrance of your baptism. How about that? We'll go from there. And this passage today really should, in so many ways, send us thinking about our baptism and about how we worship God and what goes on. It is a beautiful passage. It's not really found in this particular way in any other spot, although there are some ways that it is alluded to, especially if you stretch your mind a bit, if you see the story of Lazarus in the Gospel of John, that is too a time of unbinding. Jesus tells Lazarus to come out of the tomb, and when he does, he instructs everyone around, the community that is around him, to unbind him and let him go free. Now, these words are really words that are chosen very well here by Christ. He is talking to this group in the church. Now, this is a part of the section of the Gospel of Luke where the disciples and other people around Christ, not just the 12, but other disciples, are all on their way to Jerusalem. This is Jesus' last chance to go in and do this. And his teaching has changed somewhat. His teaching is much more pointed. It's much more really looking for things to happen. He understands his time is short with his disciples, and he talks less with his disciples than he does with others throughout the 9th chapter all the way to chapter 17 in Luke. And the reason is Jesus lets them see how he is with the Father and connecting with other people, so that the disciples, when he is not there, will be able to do likewise. He is not just in a small group. He is trying to spread this out as widely as he can. And he's letting the disciples watch how he goes about doing this ministry on the journey to Jerusalem. Along the way, Jesus is talking, and his urgency is getting more and more as he knows what is going to happen in Jerusalem. And yet, it seems he is the only one who knows. Even as he tells his disciples, they seem not to understand and are not so much involved in the real urgency of this passage or this whole mission. But this story today is really great. Jesus goes on the Sabbath to worship with his disciples, for sure. And he is teaching, as would be the norm of the day. A woman walks in, which in and of itself is an event in a synagogue. The women and men were separated from one another in worship. And Jesus speaks to her. Another strange thing to have happened in a synagogue. That was not part of the program in the day. Jesus saw her and saw her ailment. She was bent over. She had a spirit. She could not stand upright. And it had been this way for 18 years. How many in here are less than 20 years old? If all you ever remembered was being stooped over and in pain, what would your life be except bad? This woman had been dealing with this for 18 years. And Jesus cures her. Simply says, "You're set free. I'm unbinding you." The language here is very important because it comes from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy and Leviticus. The language of letting someone free, freeing up your animal so that they can go get water and food on the Sabbath. You let them free to go get graze and do what they need to do. That's a part of the Old Testament. And he is referencing that. And Jesus is saying, be unbound. Be no longer bound up by Satan. Be set free. Well, that in and of itself is just a wonderful thing to talk about, and we can stay here and talk about it. This is how great it is. And yet, the story goes on. The professional rabbi in the place gets upset. We professionals kind of get upset when somebody messes with our worship service. Actually, no, I like it a lot, because I really like things to change a lot. I'm just tired of talking. But the guy gets upset. He says, wait a minute. There are 6 days to get cured. This is a day just for worshiping God. And Jesus rightfully points out to him that he is a hypocrite of the first order. He is refusing care to a woman who had been suffering for 18 years because it's the Sabbath, and the way he reads the Deuteronomic law, it's unlawful to be healing someone on the Sabbath. And to be honest, I'm not sure why there was, and it may have happened, and Luke is just nice and didn't put it in there, but Jesus might slap the dude. You hypocrite. What is wrong with you? And the thing is, we as human beings like to make rules about how things go. And the law that was given to Moses, and given to the people of Israel to live and do, got expanded beyond belief. Yes, in the end, there were 615 or 617 total laws in the Old Testament. Depends on how you count them, which one it is. And yet, over the centuries, there was so much written about each one of them that it expanded and put borders in places and where they did on and on and on, expanding the law and what it meant until it had gotten distorted beyond belief. Now, before we get too high and mighty about this, I know most of you, especially the ones who raised your hands and you're 18 or younger, don't remember the days of blue laws. Those of us who have gray hair remember them well. Blue laws were the laws that kept businesses from being open and active on Sundays. And then as we got a little down the road, you could open after 12 o'clock or whatever, especially in the South. It was really tough. All that went away by, 1977 or so. It was gone. But I remember as a child being just befuddled by this business of blue laws. And the incident that I remember the most, I was living in a little small town in North Carolina just for the summer. My dad was there preaching as a student pastor over the summer. I was about 5 years old. It was Williamson, North Carolina, which is, you probably drove through it 100 times, but you don't even know it's there. One Sunday, we came out of church, and my oldest brother, got stung by a bee as we were walking home. We learned something fairly quickly that day is that he's allergic to bee stings. And he started to swell up on his arm where he had been bitten, and my mother was concerned. And she, of course, went back to where the church was because, as it would be in those days, the person who owned the drugstore in town, the druggist, the pharmacist, was a member of the congregation, and she needed to get something for him. He called the doctor, who was also a member of the congregation, and she said, "Well, great." He said, "I'll go get it, mix it up and get it for you and bring it to him." She said, "No need to do that. I'll go there and get it." And he said, "Oh, no. Customers can't come into the drugstore and buy things on Sundays. It's against the law." And here was me, little five-year-old, holding on to my mom's skirt, trying to figure this out. Because in those days, unlike most today, not CVS or Walgreens, but the way it was, a drugstore usually had a food counter. And the best thing was they had ice cream and made milkshakes and things, real live milkshakes, not fake stuff. And I'm walking along and my mother's going and I start asking questions. I was an inquisitive little child, showed my knowledge and wisdom way early in life, not to mention my own self-loving. And I said, "But Mom, why can't you go in and buy something? Because we go there sometimes on Sunday afternoon and buy ice cream." And she started trying to explain it to me. And I was totally not understanding why it was okay to be able to buy an ice cream cone, but you couldn't buy the thing you needed to get well. It didn't, in my little five-year-old pea brain, it did not make sense at all. And so I kept asking, we're trying to keep people from having to work on Sunday, but the woman who gets the ice cream out and gives it to us, she's working on Sunday. Why, seemed to me that the idea of getting ice cream should have been outweighed by people getting the things they need to be well. But that was not how the law was written. And finally, as the pharmacist there is coming to me, and I just keep asking questions, and my mother, got a little kid, he's got like a dog with a bone. I'm just chewing on this thing. And I want to know what's going on. And finally she looks at me and she says, "Well, if you'll stop asking questions right now, I'll give you a nickel to go buy an ice cream cone later." And while I'm a dog with a bone, if somebody throws a steak out, that bone is gone. And that was the end of it. But that is the kind of logic we humans push into the law. We want to make it, you have to this, 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 and this, and we draw lines in funny places, and we love to watch legal shows that experiment with where those lines are in our federal, state, and local laws, because they're conundrums. And this day, Luke is talking about the least, the last, and the lost of the world. That is his major theme, is Christ coming for them. And the rules were being used to make them even more the least. All the more the lost and the last. And Jesus, being Jesus, called him on it. "You hypocrite. Worship is not about following the law. Sabbath is neither the absence of work or going to worship. Sabbath is a state of being with God, being at peace and in a right relationship with God." Jesus says, "You're a hypocrite." And I wonder how often, as Christians, we are hypocrites, hiding behind rules and laws instead of dwelling with the one who wants us to be set free. The one who says plainly here that you are supposed to come to worship to be unbound, to be set free of what the sin has done to you. You are supposed to be free now to enter into a real live relationship with God and others in your community to show how good God is and to proclaim that to everyone that you see, not be bound up in sin. We like to make rules and to put everything into little nice tight spaces. And Jesus says, that is not the kingdom of heaven. And while our scripture lesson this morning stopped at verse 17, really we find the meaning in verses 18 through 21. Jesus said, therefore, after saying that they would be wonderful things happening, what is the kingdom of God like? And what should I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nest in its branches. And again he said, to what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus points us again back to what the kingdom of God is all about. A place where we can all be safe, secure, taken care of, and yet full of yeast to spread, to feed the hungry, and to continually spread this out. Brothers and sisters, this idea of loving rules is fine. But Christ is not about bounding us up, especially here in the Gospel of Luke. It is about freeing the prisoners, curing the sick, and setting us free to enjoy the home that God has given to us. Let us not insert our human wisdom into true wisdom that God gives to us. Amen.